And yet, it's the book of today, because as a thousand years is a day to God, I believe that we're in a minute to midnight of the end times. And if you've got your Bibles, turn to Matthew 24, and I'll be reading from verse 1 to 15. And I believe that the church universal needs to be more energetic in these last days than we have been over the, few years. I remember when I was a new Christian, the disciplines were a lot stricter. If before I was married and I came into the church and they said, "Where were you last night?" I said, "Oh, well, I was out having a meal." "What time was that?" "Oh, I finished about 12 o'clock, I think we finished." "Well, Sunday starts at 12 o'clock. You should be at home." It was that sort of discipline. And over the years, that has gone away to where we are today. Okay, then Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came up to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said to them, Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will it be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Christ,' and I will deceive many. And you will hear of the wars and rumors of wars. You will see that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there'll be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up in tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by the nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and betrayed one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets rise up to deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound and the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination and desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads them, let them understand." Now I want to start on verse 15. The abomination of desolation. Now I don't know whether a lot of people understand what that really means, but in the Greek and the Hebrew, it simply means that the time has come when there will be a decline in society. There will be an emptiness, a desolation. There will be a falling away of all the things that we see. You see, the abomination is where we're at now. When you consider how our society has gone with all of these different genders. At one time, I counted 19. Somebody told me there was 50-odd. Well, I don't understand how there could be 50 different genders when I understand there's only two. But in this time, in this age, when the abomination is happening right now, when we see our society crumbling, and now not being political in any shape or form, I'm just portraying where I believe we're at today in Scripture. And when you see that the society falling away. If we were to turn to 2 Timothy 3, and it says this, "But know this, in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, and despisers of good. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than the lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away." That's our society today. Children have no respect for authority. People have no respect for authority. And the whole thing is falling apart because, as it said in, I read in Matthew, that these things have got to come. These things must happen. But what we need to remember is, as this, and it sounds I'm being very negative at the moment, but I'm trying to paint the picture of where the world is at. When you consider how many wars there are, when the brutality of what happened with Hitler, the brutality of what's happening in the Ukraine, all of these things are now happening in our time. This is the abomination of where we're at in Scripture. And if I've studied Daniel and right the way through Revelation, I love the end times studies. And it says in Revelation that the hordes will come from the north when the Euphrates dries up. Euphrates is drying up now. So the hordes that would be coming over, and I could go into all of the rest of it, but it's just showing you the picture of where we're at today. And because of that, the church needs to be more energetic, because we're at the midnight, or a minute to midnight, before Christ comes, or before the church is taken away, depending whether you believe the 3.5 years or you believe before. I'm not going to go into that. But the time is that as a midnight, as we're moving into the time when the things are going to happen, we will be taken away. When one's in a field, one will be taken away. That sort of scenario. In fact, there's an airline company in America that they're so concerned about it that if they know there's a born-again Christian on the plane, they put a non-Christian as a co-pilot. Because they believe what's going to happen. Now, I don't know whether you believe what's going to happen. I don't know whether you believe that we're in that time now. I'm only portraying what I believe by seeing God's word. And we can always have a discussion afterwards if you want to. But the church now needs to be, and I was so glad that Jenny brought up that bit about talking to others. I do a lot of street work in St. Neots, and I'm amazed at how many people don't know of the gospel. When I say to them, "Do you know the role of Jesus?" "No, I don't know." And it astounds me that in our society today, that people, particularly young people, don't understand about Jesus. And yet here we are as a body of believers. What we've got to do is now say, okay, if the minute to midnight is now, what are we going to do about it? Am I going to start telling others? Am I going to make sure that others understand? Because the area we're in now, I can't stress enough of what I've seen from Daniel right the way through to Revelation with all of the scriptures. We're in that minute to midnight. And because we're in that minute to midnight, the church, as I said earlier on, needs to be energetic in its outreach. Needs to be energetic in reaching the neighbour next door. Now, I trained people with Evangelism Explosion. I don't know if you remember that. I was a representative for Evangelism Explosion. And we taught people techniques of being able to witness to people. Whatever your hobby is, whatever your interest is, you've got a tool for evangelism. Because you can always talk to people, particularly if you're in some sort of club, you can talk to them about what you're doing and the rest of it, and it brings the conversation around. You can always engineer a conversation around. Most conversations are built up with questions. When you think about it, you know, how have you been today? What are you doing? You know, there's all sorts of questions you can ask. And you can use Christian songs. I don't know if you've heard it. If you haven't, I really beg you to listen to it, called the Easter Hallelujah. A 10-year-old girl singing the Easter story. When I heard that, I just tingled all over it, and when it came to the end, I was in tears. It was absolutely brilliant. And if you've got things like that, you could say to your neighbour, you know that song, Hallelujah, that's been on, there's some new words to it. Have a listen. You're sowing the seed straight away. And you can find various things to be able to challenge people. I was out on the streets of St. Neots last year, and was talking away. I started by saying, can you do me a favour? And they said, what's that? Give me £1,000, please. And then I said, no, I'm only joking. But it gave me an in. And then once I was talking to this lady, I said, and this is where a lot of Christians fall flat. They share the gospel, but they don't bring the clothes, as I call it. And I said to her, do you want to accept Jesus Christ as your saviour? She said, yes. And I prayed with her in the street. There was another lady, actually from Guildford. They were up visiting. And I stopped them and said, my son is just like you, keeps telling us about the gospel. I said, well, why don't you do something about it? They said, like what? I said, do you want to invite Jesus into your life? And they said, yes. And I prayed with them both in the streets of St. Neots. You see, you could, just by having the wherewithal, and you don't need to know great theological depths or anything, because the gospel is easy. Jesus died for you. He loves you personally. The thing that got me interested into Christianity was when somebody told me that Jesus loved me. And I said, don't be stupid. Because I thought I was unlovable. I joined the army at 15, and I was a reckless soldier all the way through. But when they said Jesus loved me, it set me thinking that maybe somebody loves me. And that statement, Jesus loves me, changed my life. Because it got me thinking about. And I'll tell you another story. I'm telling you these stories because I'm trying not to boast or anything, but trying to encourage the church to get more involved with reaching out. As a young Christian, I was on the streets of Briley Hill in the Midlands with a pastor. And I'd only just been saved, maybe 6 months or so. And we were waiting outside the pubs with a magazine and talking to people when throwout was happening. And this fella is a ginormous fella. He was, you know, big. And I went up to him and I started talking to him. He said, I don't want to know about that. And I said, wait, hold on, let me finish. He said, no, if you carry on, I'm going to punch you on the nose. So I said... I said, let me finish with this. Jesus loves you, and I ran away. But you see, you can always have something to say to people, no matter where you are. If you're walking with God, talking with God, praying with God, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you, There are times when you can be, I was in a queue and in a, one of the supermarkets, and as I came up to this lady to pay me bill, I said, I've just got a message for you. And she said, what's that? I said, God wants you back in church. And she says, do you know, I've been thinking about that for a long time. So if you just listen to what God is saying, you can be in a position to be able to tell people, encourage people. You can build relationships quite easily. You've all got relationships, I guess, with your neighbour. How many have actually told the neighbour that you're born again Christians and that that God loves them? You know, these are the challenges that I want to put forward to the church, because the church needs to be energetic in reaching the lost. And those people that used to come to church, how many of you have contacted them and saying, you know, we've missed you at church for so long, why don't you come back? And you'd be surprised at the responses you get. Then, and it won't be all negative. Because some people have been hurt by church. And when that message was, you know, you have to present the gospel in love. Yes, you do. I was talking to a lady who was a lesbian. And she said, you can't change me. I said, I don't want to change you. I said, only God can change you. I just want to tell you about Jesus, and Jesus loves you. I didn't judge her in any way, although, you know, I'm anti-lesbian, anti-homosexual. I didn't judge her in any way. I tried to encourage her. So church, get energized, get excited, because there's nothing more exciting than seeing somebody come to Christ. You see, if you notice in Matthew, Jesus, later on in Matthew, towards the end, he talks about making disciples first. He says, go into the world and make disciples. And then, later on, he goes on and says, go into the world and preach the gospel. So what comes first? Making disciples. So this is for the leaders of the church. Make disciples of the congregation. Make disciples so that when you go out, because it's better to make disciples than win souls. Because discipleship will bring souls. Do you see what I'm saying? And I hope I'm not being too heavy with you. But sometimes God's word does come heavy. Sometimes God's word comes in such a way that it wakes us up. We have to start thinking about what's happening. And we're in a situation today where, as I said, the abomination. You know, there's the desolation is the bleakness, isolation, emptiness. People are empty. People want to be loved. People are desperate for the church to give them the message of the love of Jesus Christ. People are desperate to hear it. If Isaiah 41:10 says this, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you, and I will uphold you in my righteous right hand. So we have a message from Isaiah saying, look, when you go out, you're going out in his name. He's going to help you. He's going to make you strong. He's going to encourage you. And then I read something in Australia. Somebody started saying that he's the Messiah in Australia. And people were actually going to him. Can you believe it? You know, in this day and age, people were actually going to somebody who declared that he was the Messiah. In Luke 21:8, and he said, take heed that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, The time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them, but when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. In other words, we've got time. We've got time to be able to go out and share the word of God and bring people to the place where Jesus can meet them. I'm going to close with that, and I'll just hope that I haven't offended anybody in any way, but I just want you to understand the midnight to the hour is here. Shall we just pray? If you feel that the words touch you in any way, praise God. If you feel this morning that all you're going to do is not take any notice, bury your head in the sand, I would say this morning, wake up and smell the coffee. Father, I just pray in your precious name, your wonderful name, Lord, that your word will penetrate deep into our hearts. And Lord, that we will have a real new energy as sharing you with our people around us. Lord, we just know that you love them. You come into the world to heal the brokenhearted. And Father, there are so many brokenhearted around. Lord, let's have a compassion for them in the mighty name of Jesus. And I pray for every head that's bowed this morning, every heart that's open to you. Lord, I pray that you will just minister into those people right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, I ask it. Amen. Amen.